It needs to be said.
Yes.
Yeah, this is important.
Back, all right.
This has to be said. The fact that when he said, why don't we have people from, he could have said Europe.
Yes.
He could have said, you know, when you think of Europe, what's the first thing that pops into your mind? Like Britain, France, whatever. He went with Norway. So like, okay, you don't want white people. You want Aryans. That's what you're going to. You can't get whiter than Norway. This I'm a true. Third Norwegian. I know this. The only way you could get whiter than that is if there was a special land of albinos out there.
Oh, Lord. By the way, we forgot to mention that people are listening to the Podcast Profs.
Yes, and this is our annual.
God, say what?
Yeah, our you weekly show upon further review.
Indeed. And this is like season two, sort of?
Yeah, we'll go for that.
Spring semester one, season two.
Yeah, let's go season two.
I think it'd be season one because TV shows have winter finales.
That's right. Oh. We had the mid-season finale before.
Is season one, episode 18-ish.
17, I think. 17. 17. 17. Right. Episode 17.
Right. Whatever you all say. Right. I'm not counting.
Roy Moore is disinterested starting next week. So.
Well played. But not forgotten.
And when lightning strikes me, well, gentlemen, and I'm sorry that you'll be caught up in it. All right.
That was brilliant.
That just came out of nowhere.
I was going to say we're going to run out of toes to count soon, and then you just kicked that up to 11.
Boom,
so
you know, wow. With apologies to Max.
No, don't apologize.
As you know, we generally tackle everything from politics to sports to history to whatever sort of
strikes our fancy.
It does, indeed. And I jokingly said to you as we were getting ready, you both, as we were getting ready to record, that the last time the three of us sat in this very studio, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a chance.
Yep.
And the Pittsburgh Pirates had a team.
What a weird
48 hours for Pittsburgh sports fans.
Now, you know, with the Steelers, look, you can't win a football game if your defense doesn't show up at all. And that's exactly what happened. Not much to say there. The Jacksonville Jaguars were the better team. They flat out beat us. No shame in admitting that.
Well,
we're in Pittsburgh. It's a colloquial.
Don't you start this.
Fine.
We're in Pittsburgh. We are in Moon Township.
Are you happy now?
That's better.
Okay. Moving on.
Them.
But there's, you know, there's no shame in admitting that the professional football team
so desperately
from
wants to
Pittsburgh
say we.
It just got beat.
In his defense, so the school's website says that this is a Pittsburgh zip code.
Thank you.
Set yourself
moving
up for disaster.
You know, I'm going to go back to Washington where they treat me.
Wait.
All right.
Wait, let me explain. Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Is the football team called the New Jersey Jets? No.
No.
Where do they play football?
New Jersey.
Thank you.
But we right now are sitting in Moon Township, Pennsylvania.
I think you're just splitting hairs. Now, the Pirates thing, I can't explain that.
I can.
What?
You have an owner who cares about the bottom line and nothing else.
Doesn't the bottom line usually involve for Pirates fans? I know this is hard.
What's it called?
Winning.
Yes. No. See, I have gotten into an interesting debate with several friends of mine who are as big a sports nut or big a baseball nut as I am, and I always ask this question, being as you know, I can be somewhat snarky at times. Don't say a word. Just agree with me and nod your head.
Nod your head.
Just and let me keep right on going. And I always bring up this question. All right. I'm the owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Tell me what is wrong with me wanting my investment to be profitable. Even if it means at the expense of
that implies that it wasn't profitable before.
Well, this is true.
So there's a difference. It wasn't that the Pittsburgh Pirates couldn't make payroll.
True.
And now they can.
True.
This is simply, it's not so much that I want it to be profitable. I want it to be more profitable.
Mm-hmm. He does run it much like a corporation.
Which it is. And to be honest, it's really unfair to lump one professional sport against another. They're all businesses.
They are.
Let's get that. Although, one sport that's not a business, I'm going to segue here because you've got that glimmer of excitement in your eye, and I know I do, because in a couple of weeks, guess mm-hmm. what we get to look forward to?
Dun, dun,
yep.
dun, dun,
the Olympics.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Winter Olympics.
And South Korea and North Korea announced today, and we're recording this podcast on Wednesday, January 17th.
Yes.
I thought
16th.
17th? 17th. 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 Oh, wow. What happened to the 15th?
Martin Luther King Day.
That was 48-ish hours ago.
Okay.
That's already gone. Never to be experienced again, sadly.
Well, until 2019.
Yeah, but not 2018.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry. So,
philosophical or metaphysical. Or metadata or something. Right. I don't know what it is. So, we are recording this podcast on Wednesday, January 17th, and there was an announcement today that the North and South Korean teams, now we don't know how large the North Korean team is going to be, but the two teams will march in as essentially a unified Korean team at the opening ceremony.
That is good news.
That is really good news.
We may be seeing the first genuine movement.
Yes.
And I never thought it would become in spite of American
leadership.
You know what? I'm pleased to see it nonetheless.
Look, he is probably crazy. He is certainly dangerous. But
enough about our president.
Oh. But I'm treading on really careful words here. Give Kim Jong-un credit for being the one who opened the door to this potential fall.
Indeed.
You know, for those who don't remember his New Year's address, he essentially said that, you know, with the Olympics coming up, hosted obviously by South Korea, that there was a wonderful opportunity for there to be the beginning of dialogue, and I'm paraphrasing what the man said very poorly, but the potential for dialogue between the two countries, and it escalated quickly, and a few times we can use the word escalated quickly in a
good sense,
way.
Yeah.
There's going to be a 140-piece North Korean, I think it's the state orchestra that's going to be there. There's going to be some, again, I don't know the exact number because it's not been determined yet, North Korean athletes. There'll be a delegation of some kind. You know, and I think more than anything else, what to me, there are two things that are significant about the North Korea-South Korea decision. One is I think it takes off the table any potential for any sort of missile test
or mischief.
Anything like that during the games. I think it probably takes that off the table.
I would agree. Well, now because the North Korean regime has every interest in making sure this goes off well and without a hitch.
Precisely. And the other thing it does is it absolutely shames the morons in the U.S. who were talking about the U.S. considering not sending its Olympic team if the North Koreans showed up. How dumb can you be?
Okay, so you're talking on a scale from irritated but still rational to Trump.
Yes.
Well, there's your
now,
answer.
Now, here's the thing.
By the
two people who made those claims are two what I think are rational beings.
Thought.
Nikki Haley and Lindsey Graham. You know, what they are thinking with this kind of idea just baffles me.
I can't even begin to explain. I really can't. I don't know. But I actually want to backtrack just slightly before we get into the fun that is the Olympics. I do love the Olympics.
Yes, I agree with you.
Wish a broader variety of events would be televised.
Well, they're all live online now.
Well, that's true, but...
But not many of us can call in sick for 2 weeks and watch it all.
Exactly. But, you know, my thought on all this is, do we know that Kim Jong-un is crazy? I actually do not think he is. I do not think he is mentally unbalanced. Now, I'm not saying that makes him a good guy. I'm not saying I even agree with what he does. But I think it does a disservice to say, oh, that guy's crazy.
I can accept that. And
his dad?
Yeah.
The cheese had slid pretty far off the cracker.
Yeah, that was not good by the time we got to the father. You know, I will say this, that the man has taken a look at ballpark the last 20 years of world history, which is a small snapshot in time. I accept that. And he has looked at what has happened to Saddam Hussein.
Yep.
He looked at what happened to Muammar Gaddafi.
Yep.
And he essentially said, I'm not going
down. Not me.
I ain't going down.
Yeah.
And that means that I am probably going to do some things that are going to be belligerent, that are going to anger people.
But I'll still be standing.
But I'll still be standing. And he also,
as Elton John famously said.
Yes. And he also realizes that he has four states that surround him in a very sort of precarious situation. Japan, China, South Korea, Russia.
Right.
On the one hand,
he can, in fact, see Russia from his house.
From his house, unlike certain former vice presidential candidates from Alaska. Lipsticks, pigs, and hockey moms or something like that.
We're talking about Sarah Palin, yes, just for those of you who haven't picked up on it yet.
Picked up on
it. Go ahead.
But, you know, here's the thing. On the one hand, Russia, China, South Korea, Japan, none want to see North Korea nuclear armed.
Right.
But on the other hand, none of the four want to see North Korea destruct.
Right.
And to some extent, the real politic of the situation is North Korea, nuclear armed and stable, however horrific the country is better for regional stability.
Or at the very least, is less catastrophic.
Is less catastrophic.
Yeah.
That's the horrible realpolitik of this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we, you know, unfortunately, we do have to inhabit a world where we have to think of the real consequences of actions, whether we like them or not.
Yes.
Now, if I may pivot to a happy topic.
Yes.
What's your favorite Winter Olympics event? Now, I will lead off by saying what mine is, and it's no surprise.
Go ahead. You go first.
Curling.
Yes.
I adore curling.
You
I
get
love
swept up in it, huh?
I really do.
Yeah.
It's sometimes you feel like you're between a rock
I was gonna
and
make
another
a,
rock.
I was going to make a body rock joke, but I thought, nah, I won't go there.
You well, know? I also like it because it's conceivably the only Olympic event I could theoretically participate in.
Yes, I agree with you.
But it is, you know, if you haven't watched curling or ice shuffleboard, as it basically is, that's what it is.
It's what it is.
I challenge you to watch one match and not come back for more.
I love when you have the hammer, all right?
Absolutely.
In curling, you know, you have the last shot, literally.
It's the hammer.
The last stone.
He's going to drop the hammer. And it sounds so violent. It's probably the least violent sport.
Yes. And the other thing that I love is, you know, the precision with which those stones go down the ice.
Oh, absolutely.
Just fascinating sport. I agree with you. I find curling fascinating. I find hockey fascinating, but boy, the pill is a little bitter to swallow this year.
Okay, you know, pourquoi? You mean the Russian ban?
Well, with the NHL's moronic decision to not participate. You know, it's basically now a B league tournament. And that's no disgrace to the guys playing in the KHL. I understand that. But
in all fairness, though, I actually kind of like that better.
Well, you know what? If you're going to go back to the amateur roots, fine. Go back to the amateur roots and let's get rid of all of this stuff. But, you know, it's a B-grade soccer tournament or a B-grade hockey tournament. Right now.
But you know what? But the passion is very A-list.
I agree with you.
And in some ways, that's more enjoyable to watch.
Sure.
And I don't care if, you know, they're not in the NHL, you know, they're representing their countries. I also prefer, I'm with you. I really like watching Olympic hockey, not least of which is the violence actually goes down.
Yes.
And you can actually enjoy the game.
It is.
Showboating.
Two of the wonderful skill games to watch.
Yeah.
Women's basketball and international ice hockey.
I agree.
Because the physical game in both cases is reduced in favor of either individual skill or team skill coming together. Which Olympic sport do you every time it comes on?
Summer or winter? We're just sticking with winter.
Just winter.
Figure skating.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Thank you. Why? Why do you loathe figure skating? I'm curious.
I loathe any single sport that is judged.
All right.
I just have a fundamental. I want it to be decided by a stopwatch or a scoreboard or a weight amount. All of that, I'm fine with.
Yep.
But this idea that, you know, as the old Cold War joke went, and a 4.2 from the East German judge.
Yes.
You know what I mean? This the fact that we're judging this, I just think it's, you know what? If you want to put them on display almost as a parade of nations, that's fine. I can appreciate the artistry of figure skating. I can appreciate the athleticism that goes into figure skating. But much in the same way that I loathe diving in the Summer Olympics, for the very same reason, any judged sport drives me up a wall.
Why is figure skating so popular with Olympic crowds, Olympic television broadcasters?
Well, one, it is undeniably beautiful. Yes. Objectively, it is artistic. There's an enormous amount of athleticism that mm-hmm. goes into it. You cannot deny it is, that these human beings are in fantastic shape.
It is also tremendously popular with women, and one of the not very subtle attempts that began with Rune Arledge and then continued with Don Olmeyer and then on to CBS and then back to NBC was the idea to ensure that Olympic television coverage in the United States was not more, you know, testosterone, so to speak.
Well, of course, the radical solution was maybe start giving the women's events more airtime, but
no.
Yeah.
No.
But anyway, but now there is, though, however, that. There is one non-judged event. It's in the Summer Olympics that I can appreciate, but it's so saturated, it turns my stomach.
All right.
Beach volleyball.
Yes.
I'm done.
Yes.
I have seen enough beach volleyball for 16 lifetimes. I'm over it.
I agree with you.
I mean, when...
why do you think... why do you think beach volleyball is put on television?
Oh, please.
First of all, upset and spikes.
Well, yeah. Could it be? And it's, by the way, women's beach volleyball.
Women's beach volleyball. Yes.
And I'm just going to leave it at that, because yes. to call those uniforms is an insult to the English language.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly titillation. There's no. See what I did there. There's no argument either. Either way. Now, when the two American champions, and I forget their names, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I can't think of them either.
It was fun to watch them compete because they were so good.
Walsh
and the other one had two surnames.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of it, and yeah, I feel it'll like come a horrible American for doing so. And it was good to watch for that, but
around the world.
There was just so much.
Yes.
It's too much.
Too much.
Especially because I never get to actually enjoy the sports I want to see in the Summer Olympics.
What are your Winter Olympics sort of under the radar sports that you particularly enjoy? In other words, not the sort of A-list headline.
The marquee brand. Ones,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, not the marquee games, marquee sports.
I have to say, I do enjoy cross-country skiing.
I do.
It takes a lot of discipline to watch that, because it's not one of these things where it's over in 10 minutes. You know, you mm-hmm. have to... You know, you got to block off like 2 hours and be committed. Mm-hmm. But that's really fun to watch.
I'm a luge guy.
I do. Oh, all of the toboggan, the luge,
yeah,
skeleton, which I can only presume they named, because if you screw up on that, that's all that will be left.
See, I got to think, you either have to be really self-confident or slightly crazy or maybe both to hurl yourself down basically an iced chute.
Yeah.
At 85 to 90 miles an hour on the luge, feet first.
Well, or head. I mean, what about right. head first?
Well, you're going feet first. I mean, if you think right. about
feet
it.
Feet first.
You
know. I mean, at least if something goes wrong, okay, so I'll be a paraplegic because I'll lack legs. But, and by the way, going those speeds, most people don't realize, medically speaking, they refer
it
to that
happening.
As terminal velocity.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was at the, was it the Vancouver Games? Where was it that the luger from
I think it was Sochi.
Georgia, was it Sochi? It was Sochi or Vancouver. Where and
I don't think it was Vancouver. It are we going all the way back to Torino?
Maybe it was.
I think
maybe
it might it be. Was. I think that's sticking out in my head.
Where on a trial run or a practice run.
It was Torino.
It was Torino. Yep. A practice run the day before the events were to start. He had a horrible mishap and died. And you know, if you've seen the video, it's not hard to understand how and why. But luge is sort of
don't
my under
look
the
up
radar.
The video, guys.
Yeah, don't. Luge is my under the radar sport.
That's a good one. I do enjoy those just because you get to see anything where I can see the strategy involved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty happy about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I know I really do enjoy
that. And you and I are old enough also to remember the Jamaican bobsleds.
Absolutely.
They had no chance, but they were fun to watch.
They were having a blast.
They embraced every second of what they were doing. Your other under the radar sport. You got an under the radar sport, Sean?
I am with you on the luge.
All right.
I like any sport that I look like I could fake myself into thinking I could do it.
I love the way you put that. That's one of the reasons I like curling.
Exactly. Yeah. Could you imagine any of the three of us hurling down a mountain at 90 miles an hour, feet first?
No.
No, but I can imagine us as a curling team.
Ooh,
I could see that. Yeah. We still need a fourth, but I could see that.
We could make that work, yes.
But if any of us are being hurled down an icy chute at 80 miles an hour, it's not intentional.
No.
It might be, but not on our end.
Right.
How do we put this politely? Neither of us is svelte. All right. All right. So we might break one of those sleds. All right. Well,
I might do it penguin style on my belly, but yeah.
You can do that now.
Are you
kidding?
I think
they call it skeleton, don't they? Isn't skeleton the one where they go?
No.
What's the one where they go down on their bellies?
They don't.
Yeah, they do.
No.
Yeah, they go down on their bellies now. What's it called?
Well, that's your assignment for next week because I don't think they do.
I think I'll have to look it up.
I think you have to have some sort of apparatus.
Well, I mean, they do, but on the sled. Instead of loose.
Oh, yeah,
on your
back. That is skeleton.
It's skeleton, right? Where
right.
You go down on your head or on your face.
Head first.
Yeah,
not on your head. That would be horrible.
Whoa. I mean, that, I don't know.
That turns athletes into chunky salsa. That's no good.
That's no good. No. Other sport that hides under the radar for you as we get close to wrapping up episode 17 ish.
It's not under the radar, but I really do enjoy the ski jumps.
I'll go along with that.
I forget what it's called. I'm going to feel like an idiot. But though, especially when they're going down,
slowly raise his hand. Yeah.
But no, the one where it's all the bumps going down and they're going side to side to side to side to side. I keep forgetting.
Slalom. Now, see, I like the traditional ski jumping, though. This newfangled stuff, new PI.
Oh, no, just the whole.
Yeah, come right down and
no sticks and you just
soar.
Go as far as you can.
But you can't go far because if you go past some line, you're like disqualified or something. That's stupid.
Yeah, you just want to go for length. But again, it's a sport that is decided with a tape measure, effectively.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm okay with that.
I go along with that. I go along with that.
So we got a good TV schedule.
We got February 9th, the Olympics begin.
I'm
will the U.S.
So ready.
Win the most medals?
I don't know about the most.
Well, then it won't be a successful Games.
Well, by whose
wink,
standards?
Wink, laugh, laugh.
Although I do know if we do get the most medals.
Is that we again?
Excuse me, are we not
You're
Americans?
You're not on the team.
Oh, no, I'm calling BS on that. We're going 2 minutes over.
You're
it is the team representing the United States. Are you part of the United States, yes or no? What does your passport say?
Passport? No, I'm kidding. Yes.
Okay,
you
all
are
right.
Not a member of the Olympics.
No, it doesn't matter. When they represent the country, you can say we. John, am I right on this?
I 100% agree with you.
Thank you. So in this case, I'm sorry, sir, you are wrong. But should the United States,
should the U.S.,
win the most golds. I do know for a fact the president will take credit for
yes,
it.
Yes, he will. Yes,
and
he will.
And once again, for the 2,975th time, he will be wrong.
Yes. And you know he's going to invite the Olympic athletes.
And if we take the least, is he going to blame it on the athletes, or will he take credit for that too?
The man has never done anything wrong.
The man has never taken responsibility for anything in his life.
And he hasn't had to.
So he's not going to start now.
No, he's 71
years old. I'm pretty sure he'll blame Barack Obama, though.
Yes, it'll be Obama's fault.
Thanks, Obama.
Exactly, precisely.
That wraps up episode 17-ish.
We'll go with 17.
We've lost count. Of upon further review with the podcast profs, he is...
Soren Fanning.
Who is...
Associate Professor of World History.
And he is...
John Roland.
Who is...
I don't know. I just go here. I haven't figured it out yet.
You're our producer, and you do a stand-up job of it,
too.
Can
you imagine, like, the day that John gets married? Do you take this woman? Yeah, whatever.
Better yet.
Just go to the reception now, you know?
As long as you both shall live. I mean, I guess.
How long is that? Forever?
Sure.
Is there an actuarial table for that? And I
you must have been just a hoot to have at your wedding, I got to tell you.
Oh, I no comment. And I am Anthony Moretti, who will just subtly move on. That wraps up upon further review with
the Podcast Profs.
See you next week.